everybody. This is Lisa.
And this is Joe.
And welcome to your Cheap Date Show for October 13th, 2007. On this week's show,
a bushel and a peck.
And a hug around the neck.
That's right.
Aww.
You know that song? You want to give us a few lines of...
I don't know the song. Oh. My mom used to walk around, like, sort of singing it a lot, but that's the only part she ever sung.
It's from Guys and Dolls.
Guys and Dolls.
Yeah, not the Simpsons version. Oh. We're with just a crazy bunch of guys and dolls.
With la, 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 Mark la, la, Hamill.
No, it's a bushel and a peck because this episode is Apple-icious, would you say?
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, okay, whatever.
Yeah. Fueled by some mulled cider.
Oh gosh. Yeah, let's okay.
Well, we'll get to that later.
We're lousy with apples here.
Yeah, we have apples coming out our ears.
Literally. Look, see? Right here.
Holy shnikes.
So smart.
Okay. Where do we want to start today?
We should start with apple picking a couple weeks ago, which is what we did.
We picked apples.
We went to we found an awesome orchard up in Woodstock, Illinois. Mm-hmm. A little out of the way place. It's family run, very small,
yeah,
but
great. We're not going to tell you where because we don't want you to go there and clog the place up. I'm serious.
There is a way of finding out where it's at, but only those in the know will be able to find out.
Or you probably email Joe and he would feel bad and tell you.
Okay, anyway. Here it is. They're closed for the season anyway. They've been picked over.
Okay.
But anyway, so we got, how much did we get? We got like half a bushel?
Or was it half a peck?
It was half a bushel.
I think you're right.
And Lisa has already made her famous cobbler.
My cobbler, which is a little bit, it's a work in progress. Actually, I think it's better every time.
Actually, it does.
It has a very fluffy, biscuity crust. Well, sometimes it's more like shortbread, and sometimes it's more like a biscuit.
Mm-hmm.
I like it both ways. Joe likes it a little crunchy. I like it pretty fluffy.
But it's really awesome. And I think we've talked about your cobbler on the show before.
Probably.
Oh, your strawberry rhubarb cobbler.
That's right. Yeah, this is a different cobbler.
It's apple.
No, it's a different crust, too.
Oh, it is?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh,
because
you're right. The crust that's on here is like a biscuit.
In fact, when you scoop it out and flip it over into a bowl, it's like you have apple shortcake.
Oh, there you go. No, I wouldn't say that.
It is. It's.
I think of shortcake as like angel food cake.
I know that's what you think of shortcake, but that's not
those little spongy things that are indestructible, like Twinkies.
No, shortcake is actually biscuit. That's shortcake by definition is like a biscuit.
Okay. Then what's a Johnny cake?
Corn muffin.
Okay.
Cornbread.
Okay. Very good. I was just testing you.
Nice try. Johnny cake.
I just remember there used to be a poem about it.
Those little sponge cake things from the Jewel are not anything.
You know, they're completely indestructible. They're just like Twinkies. You could do the Twinkies test on those, and they would be indestructible.
If you microwave them, they release black toxic smoke.
I think so. So what is in your cobbler? How do you prepare it?
The cobbler.
Briefly for the folks.
The innards of the cobbler are apples, a little bit of lemon juice, depending on how tart the apples are. Sugar, although I use Splenda. Cinnamon, and then they're cooked in a little butter to soften up before they go into the...
God.
I think butter is key. Even in a strawberry rhubarb cobbler,
mm-hmm.
butter in the filling is, I think, is an excellent idea.
Yes.
However much butter your diet can tolerate. The biscuit topping is a little bit of butter, sugar, flour, baking powder, a cup of cream...
Yes, which is a whole cup.
Which is not something you see often in biscuit recipes, at least I don't. And in fact, I'm not sure how cream is different from just using more butter, except that I guess it doesn't taste as buttery. Mm-hmm. And the secret ingredient is orange zest.
If I could raise my eyebrow the way you do, I would. That's right.
I made it without orange zest last weekend, and you said you definitely like it better with the orange zest.
Yes, I do.
It also calls for chopped crystallized ginger. which was more trouble than it was worth.
Yes, true.
To find and chop and incorporate.
So delicious.
Maybe I'll put a link on the in the show notes.
We got about
Beck's
a half
taking
a bushel.
A perfectly healthy snack, adding butter and sugar. Okay, sorry. We got about half a bushel.
That's okay. We did. And Lisa's already made her cobbler. Have we made anything? Oh, you made baked apples. How did you make those? This is a really cool thing.
Okay. I should give due credit to the site where I get all these recipes. It's Simply Recipes. And I should put a link in the show notes.
Consider it done.
The lady who runs that site has like a bunch of apple trees in her backyard and has a wealth of apple recipes. So the baked apples were apples that without peeling them or cutting them half in half or anything, I used a knife and I cut out the core and then I scooped out the seeds and a little bit of the apple flesh to make a little hole.
Like a cup.
Not quite like a cup, more like an apple with the core taken out.
Oh,
like,
okay.
I didn't cut out much of the flesh.
Mostly
just the seeds. Then I packed down in there brown sugar, raisins. You're supposed to use pecans, but I used walnuts. Cinnamon, of course. And a dab of butter on top.
Again with the butter. What kind of apples were those? Do you remember?
I think they were Jonathan's. Okay. And that was my mistake. I should have used a softer apple.
Yeah, something that would have mushed up when you baked it.
Right, because you want that to come out spoon tender.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean?
Spoon tender.
Now, the Jonathan's worked okay in the apple pie because I sliced them razor thin, which is a lot of work, by the way, but I did. And so they came out okay. But when you have the whole apple, to get that thing mushy, I would have had to bake it like 4 hours.
Yeah.
So put them in there. Put them in the oven, 30 minutes or whatever. Put a little water in the baking dish to keep them from, you know, to get them a nice steamy, moist, hot. And they came out pretty good.
They did. Mine was delicious. I sat here and plowed right through it.
And when I do it next time, which will probably be this weekend, I think, though, I'm going to cut the apples in half and scoop out an area to put the stuff in because a whole apple plus all that stuff is a lot of food.
Yeah.
I mean, they're good-sized apples, and it's not very often. Like, when I buy apples at the store to eat during the day, I always buy little ones because a whole big apple is a lot of food.
Yeah, that's true.
So anyway, that was a fun experiment.
Okay, good.
And do we need to talk about apple butter?
Well, we could. We can talk very briefly about this.
Okay.
We went down to Lisa's parents' house this past weekend for the annual, well, second annual.
Annual, pal.
We're already planning for next year.
Don't even think this is ever going to end.
It's a family tradition.
What can we call it? The top of the apple mountain. The
pinnacle. The apex.
The apex.
The paramount.
Of apple season is the apple butter weekend.
Oh, the zenith.
The zenith. There you go. The zenith of the apple season takes place in Indiana when we make apple butter. This year we used, wait for it, a bushel and a peck of apples, a couple jugs of apple cider, 5 pounds of sugar, cook over an open fire for 6 hours.
2 pounds of Red Hots.
Not so many Red Hots. And I don't know why everybody was so conservative with the Red Hots, but they were.
Toss them all in. Yes, cook in a giant copper pot over an open flame.
We're not even joking. We have this big black cauldron. It looks like copper on the... It is copper.
It's black on the outside and copper on the inside.
Bright copper on the inside.
Well, it's... It's made entirely of copper. It just happens to be...
Hand-hammered or something, I'm sure. And we build a fire, and we have a tripod for the pot. And we put the pot over the fire. Stir continuously for approximately 6 hours. Have you ever stirred anything for 6 hours?
Never.
You don't even set the stirrer down.
Yeah, you take shifts, clearly.
You hand it to the next person. Yeah, well,
what?
I've been the newest here for 6 hours, man. has to stir
exactly.
The whole thing.
I felt like an Oompa Loompa having to do that.
Well, we have.
It's okay. The Oompa Loompas will take care of that.
We start peeling the apples, not by hand, but with one of those crank apple
peelers.
Those
cool apple crank apples. I'm sure as many of you have seen those. They're things you put an apple on a spike. It's on a little corkscrew type of thing, and you turn it, and it actually takes the peel right off, and you wind up with a cord spiral cut apple at the end. You just take that off, throw it in a.
Is that how they make spiral cut ham?
They do something similar. They do have a spiral kind of knife. It's similar to that. The way they do
interesting.
That.
Interesting.
Yeah. So anyway, we take this. We had a bushel and a peck of apples, which took this giant cauldron. It filled it almost to the... It filled it 3/4 full.
Yeah, yeah.
And then after you've stood there over the fire and you've squished this stuff around with this giant wooden paddle... I feel very Amish as well. Oh, perhaps you should go over there. I don't know why I'm doing that accent. But,
yeah, Amish don't have an
and
accent.
And after five, well, I was trying to think of, it was sort of a Vermont accent I was attempting, but my Vermont accent sounds too much like my Irish accent. I sound like Derek over at Peggy's.
Oh, it sounded to me like Minnesota.
Minnesota. Oh, I guess that's your friend out there in Chipper, huh? So you paddle it, and we did this thing, like Lisa said, for 5 or 6 hours. And the stuff boils down. It gets down. It goes, it's interesting because the apples break down. It goes from apples to almost like apple sauce.
Uh-huh.
And then when it breaks down further, it goes down to this really pasty, the most intense apple flavor, concentrated apple flavor that you can imagine.
It is.
And it gets the smoke from the wood fire and, man. So we have a ton of jars of this stuff. And
yeah, then we have to jar it, which is, if you've ever canned, like, not freezer canning, but real canning. It's tricky, especially when you're canning on the order of like 20 gallons of something.
Yeah. But we had it down to a science. So then when we were all done, we're sitting around the fire after dinner and everything like that. And okay, well, next year we're going to have, and we had how many different varieties of apples? There were six varieties of apples mixed in. So
yeah, there are a couple that we think were a little too hard.
It was delicious.
Mush up quite right. Good times. And now we have like 2 years worth of apple-y goodness.
Should we make those giveaways? Should we have cheap date giveaways of the apple butter?
I was going to give some to people for Christmas.
Oh, you know what? Stay tuned, folks, because there might be some of this apple butter in your future. Was that 2007 cheap date?
Uh-huh.
Apple butter. Before we go to our cheap date segment, we should also talk about what we're enjoying right now.
Oh, yes. Speaking of concentrated apple wonderfulness,
mm-hmm.
maybe this needs to go in the apple butter.
Mm-hmm. Good idea.
We could simmer it, strain out the solids. Well, we should say what we're talking about first.
We're talking about hot apple cider, which has been infused with mulled wine spice from the Spice House, which we've mentioned on our show before.
Yes. And actually, we talked about the Spice House like 2 years ago, and this was one of the things we bought there. And darn us, we haven't mulled anything in 2 years.
Until last night when we first did this, and then it's like, hey, let's do that again. Like Donkey and Shrek, let's do that again.
Oh, yeah. This time with a little Southern comfort.
So this is stuff from, as we mentioned it, a couple years ago, go way back. I think it might have actually been on the very first Cheap Date show.
I think it was.
We talked about the Spice House in Evanston. They also have other locations. But they have this. It's in a jar, comes in a 2-ounce jar, and it is mulled wine spice. The idea is that you add, what did you add, like a tablespoon of this stuff, or how much to, or you just kind of eyeballed it?
Yeah, there are kind of directions on there, but a tablespoon for about half a bottle of...
That's it right there. Oh, that is amazing.
It's whole cloves, hunks of cinnamon bark.
Yes.
Hunks of nutmeg. I can't even tell what else.
So check that out. We'll have a link to this stuff also in the show notes as well.
The trick, if I'm not mistaken, and this is right on the jar, I can't take credit for it, but I think the trick is to simmer the spice in just a little bit of water to get all the flavors popping. That's why it smelled so good when you came in. I don't think I'd even put the cider in yet.
Yeah.
You get all that flavor out into the liquid, just a little bit of liquid, not enough to water down your beverage. And then when you put the juice in, all you have to do is bring it up to temperature.
Right.
Because I don't know, but I'm not sure you'd want to simmer wine for like all that long.
Well,
but
you never know. I've done
but
it.
But this way, the flavors are all, they all come out and they're ready to go. And all you have to do is warm your bed. Although we should try simmering it like all day sometime.
We should.
In the crock pot or something.
And it makes a great potpourri. It makes the house smell incredible.
Yeah.
It actually reminds me, years ago, I worked for a company and my boss was a guy from Sweden and he used to make glögg every Christmas.
Oh.
And the thing was, is he used to do it. We used to have our company Christmas party in-house. A lot of companies won't even let you do this anymore, but because most companies aren't big on alcohol on the premises. But this guy, he had his own recipe for glögg, and he would start this thing. We always had the Christmas party on a Friday right before Christmas, obviously.
Needless to say.
And he would bring in a crock pot and he would start it, and you wouldn't even ask what was there because it was set up on a card table which had a tablecloth over it.
Mm-hmm.
And then underneath it, if your foot happened to go under the table, you'd hear lots of glass clinking from all the liquor bottles that were underneath there. You don't even ask what was in it, but it would smell amazing. And they would always set this up right outside my office. Don't ask me why. So I'm trying to get work done.
Oh, sure.
Be like, hey, I'm going to have some more of that. That was good stuff.
Was it apple-y?
It was everything. You take this thing of spice that I'm holding in my hand, and you take this, and you like multiply it by a million, and then throw alcohol on top of it.
Okay, Joe. Well,
the whole office, the entire building.
Orange and lemon flavors.
Very citrusy, very clovey, very cinnamony, very just
okay,
you name it.
Indescribable.
Indescribably, right. So it was amazing.
If anybody knows how to make this, let me know.
Oh, there are lots of recipes for making glögg, believe me.
I mean, if anybody knows firsthand.
Okay.
You can't, you know, you Google something, you get, no kidding, 50,000 ways to make it.
That's true. Well, you know what?
And they range from somebody who has the 7-hour procedure to somebody else who refuses to open more than 2 packages for any one meal.
Well, I'll tell you.
And how do you know where the break-even point is?
I recently found that guy, that boss of mine, on LinkedIn.com. I could email him and ask him for the recipe. Although he was pretty squirrely about it. He probably wouldn't give it up.
Squirrely.
But
he probably can't remember if it's like my drink recipes.
I mean, the most awesome margaritas.
Just keep changing it and tasting it until it tastes awesome.
Yeah. Okay. We should get on to this week's cheap date.
Right.
Which is a pre-recorded segment.
What?
Yes. Believe
not
it or
live?
Not. Bandwidth for this cheap date special is brought to you by Cheap Date Media.
Now.
Yes, on Columbus Day, which was earlier in the week, Emma and I tried out a new place in Arlington Heights, and here we are talking about it.
Hi, this is Emma.
And this is Joe.
And this is our cheap date for Columbus Day.
2007. Yeah, that's it.
And today I have school. Yeah, so does my dad. And we went to this new place, and it's called Teddy's. And the slogan is just good food. This is their first location, isn't that right, Dad?
They just opened this place up.
Yeah.
And it's at the north end of town. Anyway, so we decided to go to Teddy's for lunch because, as Emma said, she had the day off of school, and we figured we'd go and hang out. Let's talk about the decor.
Had.
Well, let's talk about what it looks like inside.
Okay. It looks like it's like another Portillo's.
So it's like a casual kind of place. It has booths. They have a couple of big plasma screen TVs.
Yeah,
right?
It's hanging on the wall. And it's like another Photos, another Portillo's, Buenas. Just like,
so it's along those lines.
Yeah. And what we got today was
I got the number one Euro sandwich combo.
And that's with fries and a soft drink served with onions, tomatoes, and lettuce. Or you don't have to have all of that. And that combo is probably $6.25.
$6.25?
Yeah.
And it was a pretty good deal.
Yeah, it looked awesome.
And then what did you have?
I had a hot dog, and I didn't want the special, because the number four has two hot dogs with a fries and a soft drink. I think that's a lot. I think that's a lot to have for two hot dogs.
So you had one hot dog, and we split the fries, and then you had your own soft drink, and it was really good.
Yeah.
So hot dog was pretty good. What about the fries? The fries were really good. They're crinkle cut fries, and they were done really, really well. They were crispy and so good. Some of the other stuff that they have there, in addition to the gyros and sandwiches, as Emma's rustling her menu right there, we have, in addition to the gyros, they have kebabs. They have chicken and pork kebabs. They have skirt steak, ribeye steak, Philly steak, sliced turkey. Yeah, they have a bunch of chicken sandwiches too, right?
They have like Cajun chicken, charbroiled chicken, and chicken club.
Right.
The club with bacon and American cheese. As you know, that's optional.
Mm-hmm. They also have Italian beef and sausage. We haven't tried any of those things. They have burgers. What else?
As we were leaving the restaurant with our stomach full of goodness from all those fries, oh my goodness, my daddy pointed out there's a sign that said they have ice cream menus. They have milkshakes, cyclones, and sundaes.
Cyclone is like a blizzard, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Oreo, M&M's, Snickers, Nestle's Crunch, Peanut Butter Cup. They have sundaes. They have a banana split. They have malts.
And they have baklava. Oh, my goodness. That's good. That's a type of Greek pastry or like Middle Eastern.
Yeah, is it very sweet or is
It's very sweet. I had to do it for one of my projects and I had to taste it and it was really sweet.
It was delicious. Mm-hmm. Now, in addition to the desserts, and they had, as Emma said, they had a pretty extensive coffee menu as well. They also have an extensive salad menu. You get a chopped salad, a Southwest salad, which has cheese and roasted corn and black beans and tortilla strips on it. They have an Asian chicken salad, a Caesar salad, a chicken Caesar salad, Greek salad. They all wonderful, wonderful stuff. They also have a kids menu. So if you were still young enough to have the kids menu, what could you have had if you had the kids menu?
I would have gotten the penne pasta with marinara.
Yeah, they have the penne pasta. They also have hamburger, cheeseburger, hot dog, grilled cheese, chicken tenders, all for under $5. Well, $4.99, we'll say that.
All comes with $4.99.
And that comes with fries and a soft drink, and that's for kids 10 and under. They're also going to have a drive-through very shortly. They haven't finished working on it yet. The restaurant just opened within the past month or so.
Yeah.
And as we said, it's at the north end of town for casual stuff. It's a really good place to go. And like I said, the prices can't be beat. There are also coupons all over the newspaper right now as they're drumming up business. We had a 10% off coupon that was in the Daily Herald last week.
It's $10.
And it's also worth pointing out that Teddy's Just Good Food is actually a startup by Ted Pappas, who's the former owner of the Wellington. He owned it for 20 years, then decided to, he sold it to someone else, and then now he's decided to get back in the game with Teddy's.
And we met a friend.
That's right. One of Emma's friend's dads was there. He just came up and said, "Hey, how you doing, Joe?" Said, "Hey." And he said to Emma, "How come you're not in school today?"
Yeah, because I had Friday and Monday off, so I was pretty lucky.
That's right.
Not to beat the homework.
That's right. Okay, you don't be bouncing gourds around. It's too noisy
gourds
on the podcast.
Table.
So that was Teddy's Just Good Food. And as Emma said, there are 286 West Rand Road in Arlington Heights. Their website is what?
www.teddy's, with no apostrophe, but just Teddy's. justgoodfood.com.
It's an awful lot to type in, but check
it
out.
But it's worth it because it's beautiful food.
So check it out. We think you'll enjoy it.
We hope so.
So what did you think of that?
It was adorable. It was adorable.
Mm-hmm.
Emma's a great podcaster when her sister's not around.
I know. It's amazing. So, and I think we're going to have to start wrapping it up now. This weekend is Rolling Meadows High School's homecoming. So go Mustangs.
Mustangs.
No, we have to do it right. 1, 2, 3.
Mustangs.
They're actually undefeated. They're 7-0.
I know. Their football team's amazing.
They have an amazing football team this year. My daughter, Rebecca, who goes to school there, is going to be, she's going to the dance on Saturday night.
Aww.
Tonight. And, yeah.
Dad will be harassing some young man.
That's right.
I'm looking for...
You know
our
what?
Friend our friend Bob. Well, you know, the thing about the gun, it's so cliche. Our friend Bob.
Oh, yeah. Joe wants a sword.
He makes knives. So I just want to have this guy come over, this kid come over, and I want to whip out a scimitar.
Yeah, just shining this up. I know.
You know, that when Nate first met Laura's family.
These are friends of Lisa's.
Yeah, well, no need to go and all that. But remember, Laura's brother is big into swords.
Oh, that's true.
Both of her brothers are big into karate, so they both have bedrooms full. This was when, you know, they were still young. Bedrooms full of swords and belts and karate trophies.
God. Laura's wedding was the only wedding I'd been to where there was actually sword play at the reception. The groom was holding the bottle of champagne.
And I don't remember who was
one
holding.
Of her brothers. Yeah, one of her brothers had a sword. And he did like a samurai thing, like over his head. The French have a term for this. I know certain listeners of ours will be able to share this with us. He took the sword over his head, and the groom was holding the wine, the champagne bottle, and he took the sword and just like on a mighty swing,
whacked the whole top of the bottle,
decapitated
off.
The groom. The police were there. It was terrible. No. Took the cork right out, not sliced it off, but managed to wedge the cork out of the bottle. Yeah, it went pop and it shot sideways.
Oh.
I don't know what you were doing, but I was witnessing
it. I couldn't see. You're a foot taller than I am. There are a lot of things in life that I can't see.
Aww.
Over you. I'm trying to look around you.
With my big giant freak head.
Okay, enough
okay,
of that.
I think we're done with that. We have lots of other stuff to cover, but we're not even going to go into it yet. Thank you very much for all of the letters, the notes, and everything else that you folks have been sending us. It's
the
wonderful.
Gifts.
The gifts. Oh, my gosh. Thank you so much for the new BMW. It looks great in the driveway. We're just teasing, of course. The fact.
Although, if you'd like to send gifts.
Yeah, exactly. But the fact that you download this and listen to this is enough of a gift to us, the Cheap Date Show. Lisa, if people want to get a hold of us, how do they go about doing that?
Well, you can't email gifts, but you can email your gift suggestion to...
Now, we don't want to be that kind of show.
No, of course.
We're not that show.
Dish@cheapdateshow.com.
You can also leave a voicemail at 206-203-3283. We love hearing from you.
Send your recipes, your ideas, your thoughts, your restaurant reviews, recommendations.
Yes. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll talk to you again in
a fortnight.
Good night.
Good night.
This podcast is a production of Cheap Date Media at cheapdatemedia.com.